Greetings, first class fans and friends. Welcome back once again to another exciting episode discussing all the goings on in the FCL, the first class league. That's right. We've got competitors working hard to make their way to the Schmodown. We've got Vanessa Fitzsimmons and Kofi Outlaw in a number one contenders match. Who's moving on to face the spoiler himself, Nick Harley? We'll discuss all that and everything else going on in the FCL. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Ryan. Oh, Ryan's off. I'm sorry about that, guys. Okay, so we've got all of the regular crew here. That's right. Chris Barnes is no crit. Well, who's the guest? Oh hell, it's just Keith. Well, as announced, folks, welcome back once again to This Week in the FCL. We had a couple amazing matches this week, and I am joined, of course, by the one and only Keith Kilduff, here to break down the stats, the matches, and everything going on. Hello, Keith.
Listen, Andrew, it's just you and me this week, but, you know, we'll make it work. Obviously, we wish Ryan and Chris the best. They're a little bit under the weather this week, but I think we've got a lot of action. We've got a lot of news to get into, so while we may be down in numbers, we are high in spirits for this week.
And it is a high-spirited week in the FCL. We had some great matchups coming our way. And we're going to even dip back a little bit in time and go back to last week's matches. We're covering a little something that we somehow managed to miss on our last show. Four words that I'm sure today I will be thinking internally very regularly. I'll do it myself. Keith, that's what James Schemo said last week at the end of the show. Somebody was talking to him on the phone. He said, if you want it done right, I'll do it myself. He's paraphrasing Thanos and many other great villains in the history of movies. We've all heard that line before. But what is it he's doing, and what is going to come out of it? Like, I don't know what's going on here. Do we have any idea what Schemo is up to?
I mean, it's obviously he's getting his little band of merry men together with this sinister society. You know, we had nods to Nick Harley with his hashtag Free Furtado campaign during his match. You kind of wonder, is there something going cooking between those three potentially? But obviously, it's obviously a link to this sinister society that he's doing. But listen, let's see who he gets together.
It is true, and it could be very interesting to see some team-ups starting to happen in the FCL. Obviously, no teams division, but we've got some dangerous names you brought up right there. And I personally thought that Nick Harley was just a man of taste and class like myself. Free Andrew Furtado. That's right. Bring him back to the FCL. And he will be coming back to the FCL, which I am, of course, super excited about. You want to know more about that? Hey, guys, here comes that pluggy plug for you. Don't forget to check out our Spotlight series on Andrew Furtado, interviewed by none other than, oh, that's right, it's me. Oh, that's so great. You'll enjoy that, fans. And with that out of the way from last week, once again, sorry for missing that to anybody who was watching last week's show. We're going to go ahead and we're going to start talking a little bit about this week. There's a lot going on this week. And Keith, I think to start off, why don't we talk a little bit about some of the promos that happened this week, and then we can do our match breakdown afterwards. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I think, listen, we got a couple of story beats this week. The two Adamses come to mind. They film a little bit, and then Robert gets the email from the commissioner saying that he's back in the game. Chris isn't too happy about it, but you kind of just wonder where he's going to fit into all of this. Obviously, Robert's 1-0. So naturally enough, kind of, they're looking to kind of further his career. So Chris is kind of taking a back seat. We've got this kind of Cinefanatic Civil War kind of vibe coming on. And then the scene ends with Robert getting another notification, obviously, with who his opponent is. A lot of people are saying that it's a Cinefanatic Civil War. Personally, I think it's a Reactor Civil War. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Adams face Robert Montagna. What do you think?
You know, I think that both of those are good choices. I think that's the obvious pick would be, obviously, Adams versus Adams. I mean, that's, you know, what the heck? I could see that matchup. We've got a civil war between the both of them. They're going to have a hell of a matchup if they do. But like you said, maybe that's too obvious. Maybe they're messing around with us a little bit. And I thought of Robert Montagna as well, another great opponent to come up against him. I mean, there's so many. And as well when speaking about this is going to be interesting. That's what he said when he looked at the name. So it has to be someone of note, maybe someone who's had a lot of screen time. You could see someone like a Furtado, but perhaps, just maybe, this could be the long-awaited debut of someone that I'm very excited about in the FCL. Could it be? Could it be? Will the Flouse be in the house? We're going to find out. I don't know who it is. I am going to say, Keith, I think you actually made a good, pretty good pick there with Montano. I think that's a great choice. But I think just maybe this could be that magical debut we've been waiting for. That said, this is all speculation, and we won't find out until they bring all that action to us. Because, of course, the FCL is all about that movie trivia action. We've got lots of questions, lots of movies to watch, and lots of competitors taking a shot at lots of big prizes. This week, of course, the biggest prize of all, the number one contendership. And the winner's going to have to go up against the man, the myth, the spoiler, Nick Harley. That's right. I'm pulling for you, Harley. My co-host may not be, but that's going to be an interesting matchup. And I got to say, a lot of pressure going into this week's matchups. If I was Vanessa or Kofi coming into this one, I'd feel it. You know, you try to calm down, take your time before that matchup. But I know those butterflies would be flying in your stomach. You'd be thinking about all the possibilities. And they went in, surely, hoping to have a great match. I'd say they definitely did that.
I think it's funny as well that Harley hyped up the fight between Kofi and Vanessa himself in the little interlude that we had. Also, he made a couple of references to the MTV Music and or the MTV Film and TV Awards, compared Kofi's original nickname, shall we say, to Roka, and was pretty much saying that Vanessa was going to go down the path of David Campbell, the fan favorite, getting defeated. I think, listen, Harley's feeling himself. If I was sitting waiting for a title shot, I'd be feeling myself a little bit as well. But it's nice to see kind of the development of the character of the spoiler as well.
Yes, Nick Harley on fire, coming onto our screen and always bringing a whole lot of personality. And of course, you know who I'm going to mention next. We've already talked about it, but let's break it down a little bit more. There was a big, big scene in this week's FCL in the midst of all the crazy action in the matches. We got through our first one. We're waiting for that number one contenders match. And who should come to our screens and grace us with their presence? That's right, the wonderful Andrew Furtado, once again showing why he is the class in the first class league. He's bringing that entertainment, that excitement, and maybe a little bit of neuroses, as John Knight will not leave him alone. Brad Gilmore had a lot to say about that. I'm betting you do too.
I mean, I think that Brad is finally listening to This Week in the FCL, because his reaction to having to deal with these two morons was quite similar to mine. But listen, I think, you know, the scene between Furtado and Knight that was played last week as well is just gold. It is genuinely, taking all opinions that I have for both guys aside, like, it is absolutely gold. It's top quality entertainment. I think that, listen, we'll get into it in the match preview for next week. But I think these two together has everything that we need. I didn't think that Knight was going to have such a reaction in the Furtado household, shall we say. I thought Furtado was made of a little bit more. But listen, at least Furtado's getting his 7 days rest from Knight.
Well, I mean, I've been following all of the news on Twitter, of course. I've been watching and seeing what all of my favorite competitors have to say. And I got to say, Andrew Furtado, what a stroke of genius. Getting Brad Gilmore to agree that John Knight has to leave you alone for a week. But not a word was said, not a single thing written down or put into writing. No John Hancock's here. No agreement that Furtado has to leave Mr. Knight alone. And John Knight, I got to say this to you. I mean, I would happily receive a call from Andrew Furtado every day of the week. But the truth is, I think you might get a little sick of it before the time is up. You might have just written yourself into a corner with this one, because Furtado, well, let's agree on one thing, Keith. And I think this is one that we will both agree on. Andrew Furtado is not a person who's short on words.
Agreed. Very much. And I think, listen, Knight's not too far behind him either. So, like, you know, when we do get to next week, it is going to be something from a mouthpiece point of view, maybe not from a trivia point of view.
And you are absolutely right. These two are, I think, very well matched up against each other. A lot of excitement between the two. I do like the work that both have been doing. And I got to say, I'm just hoping that Andrew Furtado can get that justice. Glorious return, come back in with a win, and show John Knight that you can't harass a wonderful person like Andrew. He's just trying to live his life. Why don't you leave the man alone?
I mean, I think we need to leave the news of the week alone now and look at what actually happened this week in the matches. So if it's okay with you, we might tip into the match breakdowns, eh?
I would absolutely love to get into the match breakdowns because, like I said, there's not one but two real good matches this week, and opinions will abound. I definitely have a lot to say about all four of our competitors. I'm guessing we're going to start things off by kicking right on in to that first matchup of the week. That's right, Batalha and Haybon. Am I correct, Keith?
Yeah, and listen, here we go. Match breakdowns of this week's matches in the FCL. So FCL 8 is finally in the books as we solve the riddle on who was going to face Nick Harley in the number one contender. But before that, we've seen two returning players. I won't make a survivor joke this week, Andrew. Don't worry. I didn't get a chance to research it too much. But yeah, we've seen Batalha and Haybon come back. I think we were all pretty hot on Batalha beforehand. And last week, very much so, we all kind of had this feeling that he was the guy. Getting into the match itself, beforehand in the promos, there was a nice kind of touch, and I kind of was, when I was in the live chat on Tuesday night, there's a nice subtle little change in Batalha's character in terms of like how he's dressing now. It's almost like this kind of like, because he's the wise guy, this mobster kind of figure, it's like he's coming up the ranks within kind of like the Italian mafia. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if next time we see him in like a big four-piece suit and whatnot, he only kind of went with the shirt and jacket this time. But I think it's a nice kind of little subtle character development on his. Jared is Jared. Listen, he was happy enough to take shots at himself, take shots at Batalha. And we got into round one. We said that Jer was going to back up what he did in his first match, and he did. Another perfect round, 9 for 9. Jer Haybon struggles a little bit. He gets 5 out of 8. He misses the first question in Action Adventure, which is who played Lara Croft in the reboot of Tomb Raider. I think that's a bad miss. He should know Alicia Vikander. It's only a couple of years ago. He misses the 2014 Luc Besson ScarJo movie, which is Lucy in fantasy sci-fi. And then he also misses who voiced Sully in Monsters, Inc., which was John Goodman. Other than that, kind of we're seeing kind of basic enough questions in terms of like meet the parents, who directed Wall Street and Nixon. We're seeing a Pacific Rim question, which references its sequel. And then obviously the bonus question, which Batalha got, was what movie did Elektra appear in the first time, which was the terrible Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. But listen, 9-5, Jared, definitely full value for the lead. And Haybon just struggling just a little bit. What were your thoughts, Andrew?
Round number one in this matchup, I mean, the truth of the matter is I think that this round played out very similar to the way that I saw it going when I sat down. Batalha, good character, good knowledge, clearly. And we, in a couple appearances we've seen from him so far, this is someone who knows their stuff. And this is someone who, in my mind, if I had to really think about it and take a guess, this is someone who goes home and spends some time studying. Here's a movie I haven't seen. Here's a weakness that I need to shore up. And you know what? Looking across the table to his opponent today, I do not think that Too Smooth Jared Haybon is that same type of competitor. It's been a while. We've seen him in the Schmodown. We've seen him here. I think Jared Haybon's having a great time. I think he's definitely got a look. He's got a personality to him. But he is not the guy you're expecting to go in and get a perfect round. You said it yourself, 5 out of 8. In a first round in the FCL, 5 out of 8 is a real rough start. It's hard to recover from, especially against a dedicated opponent like Jared Batalha. And even beyond that, I mean, he uses a multiple choice because he knows maybe I can pull the answer to Lucy. And then he doesn't use a second one. So either you don't use it or you use multiples. Make that point if you can. On top of that, context clues. I'm not going to knock any announcer for occasionally having a little banter and maybe giving something away. But Steph Sabraw makes a joke out loud in a voice from the movie and refers to Mike. The question is about Sully. You know that Billy Crystal's the main character if you've seen that movie. You have to be able to take a second in your brain. And right there, another great chance for a JTE. Mr. Haybon, when Steph says it out loud and gives you everything you need, the keys to the kingdom. And by the way, Steph, I'm mad at you for your comment about Gemini Men, but we'll get back to that. Those keys are there for you. You have to reach out and you have to take them, Jared. Listen to what is being said around you. Situational awareness may not always be a key in movie trivia online, but this match definitely could have helped him pick up another point. Not in the end that I think it's going to end up mattering. We know how this match is going to turn out. After this first round, even if you don't know for sure, I'm feeling it even more strongly. Again, nothing against Jared, but I just think maybe he doesn't have quite that level of knowledge he needs to really compete and really show off, maybe get to a point of a title match or getting redrafted. And I think, busy guy that he is, maybe he's got more important things to do. He probably goes to a lot better parties than I do. But Jared, you might need to see a few more movies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I definitely think, listen, Haibon has a certain level of knowledge, and I think he's not going to add that much to it to kind of like push himself forward. And, you know, he's in this kind of weird position that he's been in the Schmodown. He's now in the FCL. Like, is he seen as kind of like a gatekeeper to kind of get into the main leagues? Probably not now. He's probably found his level, I think. I was thinking about the show in the week, and I think Haibon would have been perfect around season 3, season 4 of the Schmodown. But now where it's gone in the last 3 or 4 seasons with studying, with memory cards, with factions, just with everything, like, I don't know if his style kind of like fits anymore. But like, listen, the guy still has knowledge, and it's good to see him compete all the same. But he is down 9-5 coming into round 2. Our wheel comes up. Again, alluded to kind of like the science of how I think that these wheels are being constructed now. We're seeing kind of like Charlize Theron, Will Smith. We're seeing Superman, which Jared Haibon is very, very clear about what he wants to hit in round 2. But we're also seeing things like remakes, reboots. We're seeing black cinemas. We're seeing the Chris's. These other kind of peripheral categories come in. So Batolio decides he's going to go first. I think this is the correct move. You're up by 4. Listen, let's push this. Mm-hmm. Push the envelope. Let's get a big, big lead here. Lands on 2000 and says, yeah, listen, I'll take it. No problem. Goes 8-for-8 again, 100% on the button. Brad Pitt and Troy, Andy Garcia and Ocean's 11, Tom Hanks in the Da Vinci Code, and then J-Lo and Wedding Planner. Boom, 8-for-8. Jared's in big, big trouble. Haibon is in big, big trouble. Grabs hold of his little key ring of Superman and says, please, please, please. Lands on the Chris's. Kind of hymns and haws a little bit, says no, take Charlize Theron. And to be fair to him, goes 6-of-8. But the problem here is that, like, not only is he down the 4 already, but then he gives away the steal on the second question, which is a massive, massive gap. But he hits his other 3, Kristen Stewart and Snow White and Huntsman. Monster was what Charlize Theron won her Oscar for. And then What Fruit What Poison Fruit was in Snow White and Huntsman, which was the apple. But obviously that steal from Batolia, the James McAvoy and Atomic Blonde, like, he did the right thing, I think, in going down to multiple choice, not knowing the movie, not knowing what to do. But it was just, he didn't need to bleed any more than what he had.
Yeah, no, I think that's mostly exactly correct. Again, although normally I don't know about it, but you do know your stats, you do know your numbers, and you know what's what when it comes to answering questions, Keith. I give you that much credit, and you're right. Tough category here. First off, let's talk about the spin of the wheel. I mean, with Gerald Batolia, nothing surprising here. He's performed well. He spins in the last 2 decades, a decade category, and expecting that you're mostly going to see blockbusters, surface levels, actors popping up, even in the second round, maybe a hard one. Not surprised he did very well. Jared Haibon, looking at a wheel with, I'm guessing, maybe 2 slices that he's actually comfortable with, and just hoping to God he lands on one of them, because he spun away from a couple. And I don't mind the spin away from the Chris's. I think that's a category that could be a real minefield. I mean, it's 4 or 5, or I don't have their document. I don't know which Chris's are included, but 4 or 5 actors at least, all of whom have been very popular for the last 15 years, and all of whom have had, let's just be honest with you here, some A-list movies on their resume, but also some B-lists that you did not see. So I do like the spin away from the Chris's. You can Hemsworth or Hawsworth or whatever you want to do about it, but spin away from that, that's fine. And as far as the Atomic Blonde question goes, again, I think this was a pretty, pretty decent movie, but I can see not seeing it. So if you haven't seen it, fair enough. Multiple choice, good choice. Try to avoid that steal. Try to keep the points low. I'm surprised with the prevalence of Atomic Blonde and how much it was talked about for a very brief period of time as well. Just, you know, seeing commercials for it, that sort of thing. And Jared Haibon's age, this might not be something you'd normally bring up, but he's not much younger than I am, I don't think, maybe 10 years. He would have to be familiar somewhat with stuff from the 80s. Atomic Blonde was all about the 80s. Did he not see a commercial with James McAvoy in it? I mean, they were on TV. I remember seeing them. Also, back to Steph Sabra, in addition to your dislike for Geminis, and again, no love lost there, but I mean, I just got to say it, Steph Sabra, just in case it comes up again in a question, this is not a knock. I've been an announcer. I know how it works. The British Secret Intelligence Agency is not M16, Keith. It is
MI6.
MI6 like the Bond movies, just in case that comes up again. No, I think this was a round that was handled about as well as it could be by Jared Haybon. But when you come in down the points that he's down and you're not that comfortable with the wheel slice that you get to, the match is pretty much over. And Battaglia makes sure of it by going perfect in this round. If I'm Jared Haybon moving into round number three, I'm not very happy. So let's just jump on into it and find out.
Yeah, so it's 18-11 in favor of Battaglia after round two. Like, 7 points is massive. Like, we talk about the 5-point gap, but listen, to go that extra one again and hit to seven, it's a massive gap. To be fair to Haybon, he does fight back. He gets his two, the 29 Todd Phillips Joker question. He gets his three, the action adventure Maverick and Top Gun TC Legend. And then he misses five, and the five is the one that I want to talk to you about, Andrew. So it's the director of the 1988 Coming to America, and he didn't return for the sequel. At this stage, Haybon has two JTE rules left in his pocket, and within 5 seconds blurts out Spike Lee and your winner, Jared Battaglia. Again, this is probably coming back to what we're saying about the round twos and the round ones performance, but you've got to just kind of like give yourself that time, give yourself that clarity of thought. Like, if he had gotten that, he would have been up by three. And then you just don't know what's going to happen on Battaglia's side.
No, absolutely. That is what happened here. And it is a story that basically was written before it started. You know, you read the first 10 pages of this book, the first couple chapters, and you said to yourself, well, I know who committed the murder, and I know how this is all going to end. And Jared Battaglia did not disappoint, putting it away by just sitting back and relaxing. So it's all about Jared Haybon in this round. And you talked about it, the 5-point gap. I've talked before about the 6-point gap. That's that magical place where you move over it in round three, the most important round, the one where the questions have the highest weight. You've got to answer at least two questions. When you're down by seven, you have to get your five. You have to get your five. You have to get your five. Period. That's the end of the story. You also have to get your three or your two just to tie it up or put yourself 1 point ahead and hope your opponent misses absolutely everything to go to sudden death or maybe to squeak by on a 1 point win. There is no hope. The match is over. We knew it was over. And then Jared Haybon, who, as I said, I think he's a nice guy. I think he's handsome enough, and I think he knows a few things about movies. But if you're going to give him a 5-point question, a legitimate 5-point question about a director of a movie that old, and it's not that old, but it's old enough that it's not in his rotation recently, all those things put together, basically there was no chance here. So maybe you think I'm going to rag on Jared for not taking the extra JTE time. And you know what? You'd be absolutely right. Because the truth is, if you're a competitor in this league and you want to make those points, you want to survive, you want to impress, and you want to move on to bigger, better matchups, or even the Schmodown, I don't care if you don't know it. I don't care if you feel like the match is already over. I'm just going to give it away to my opponent. You have an extra 30 seconds. For the love of God, use every single one.
Yeah, it's just these are things that you just can't do. Like, let's be perfectly honest. You just can't do that. If you've got the time, use the time. You know, and I just think that there was just a lack of game awareness by Haybon. And it's not something it's something that we've said a good bit of time about his career. And that's the unfortunate thing.
There's some obvious gameplay mistakes that have been made by Jared Haybon. And although, again, I think they're all understandable, the truth of the matter is there's some universals in life. You don't tug on Superman's cape. If you're Eric in Micronesia, you do not give away your immunity necklace. And in this case, in the movie trivia Schmodown, the First Class League, or any kind of movie trivia, if you've got extra time, if you've got a repeat, you have to use it. You have to stretch, and you have to fight for every single point. Because beyond studying, I'm sure there's some great competitors who haven't studied a moment in their life. I'm guessing in the Schmodown, movie critics like Alonzo Duralde and William Bibbiani are not changing their viewing habits before they sit down at the desk. They already know all this stuff. But in the end, whether you know it, whether you don't, the thing that separates competitors in these leagues like Nick Harley, like Andrew Furtado, the people that I've been championing on this show, and you might even agree with me on this one, Keith, is not necessarily the studying. It's not even that inbuilt knowledge. It's that killer instinct, that drive, and that want to succeed, that need to beat your opponent, that need to take down that big fat W for yourself. And some people have that hunger. And Jared Haybon, well, go back to craft services if you're feeling hungry, because this is clearly not the meal you're looking for.
I want to talk about Battaglia for a second, because I think we've spoken of Haybon's kind of faults, for use of a better term. This guy's 2-0 now. 2 TKOs. Hasn't had to answer a question in the third round, I don't think. Happy to be proven wrong on that one. I want to know where you think this guy stands in the rankings. I know the league is still only 8 weeks old, but this guy surely has to be, like, we don't know what the rankings are, but this guy surely got to be kind of like in around kind of the 2-3 spot.
Yeah, that's probably about right. I think Bitolia might be in an uncomfortable situation because as a league, the FCL clearly wants to get a champion. They want a main event, a marquee match. They want someone for others to chase after. They want to establish a top of the mountain so people can try to get up there and plant their flag. And that's what they're doing with their number one contenders matches. Normally, a competitor who does as well as Bitolia in two matches, like you said, no round three questions as far as we can recall, just answering everything without much hesitation, without much difficulty, normally they'd be top of the heap. But right now, because you have 2 to 3 to 4 competitors all being moved around that title picture, maybe Bitolia falls just outside. Depending on how some of the matches go in the future, we already talked about potentially who might be facing Mr. Adams in the matchup. We talked about some names like Robert Montano. Should Robert not be used in that matchup? I could easily see Gerald and Robert having a matchup. I think that'd be a strong one, maybe for a number one contendership or to move into a main event or a pay-per-view type situation.
Yeah.
I think he's got every opportunity available to him, does Mr. Bitolia, but unless they decide to shunt him directly into the title picture after our champion is crowned, maybe he wins one more in that time and he's 3-0, then I could definitely see that happening. Otherwise, I think he's going to be floating very comfortably around the top of the league. I think he's going to be somewhere in those power rankings when they do come out. I'd say Bitolia very easily could be a top three competitor with the record that he has right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting moving forward to see where his next match is and where he kind of lands. And I think after June, hopefully this is sort of like a secondary roadmap of like what's next. But listen, I think Bitolia is going to be a big, big part of this league for, until he gets drafted. Or maybe to the end of the season.
The truth is, Keith, and you got to say it. You got to let them know out there, heels represent. If someone in this league is talking smack about somebody else, odds are they're answering a lot of questions correct so far.
Definitely. Listen, let's move into the main event. The other half of this little gauntlet bracket that we've been talking about. Kofi Outlaw, Vanessa Fitzsimmons. I was, as I said last week, I was surprised that this was what the other side of the bracket was. But listen, after how this went, there should be no reason for me to be surprised at all. Promos come in. Listen, they're both kind of very what we got from the first match with them. Vanessa's playing this kind of hot girl summer, hot kind of vibe. Kofi's still kind of building this sort of mysterious figure. We move into round one. Both perfect rounds. Action adventure, your Gemini man question comes in. Director of Rushmore, Grand Budapest Hotel, comedies 2012, Seth MacFarlane. Movie release dates of King Kong, Ben, Batman Begins. We're seeing Maleficent. We're seeing American Psycho. We're seeing Insidious come up. We're seeing Feifel in American Tail. And then the bonus question was the Will Smith, Muhammad Ali question, which they both got. There's a couple of things I want to ask you on. The first thing, I felt like Kofi really pulled 2005 movie release dates out of his ass at the last second. That saves his perfect round. And the second thing that I wanted to ask you was, is there a potential challenge with the whole Vanessa not putting Anne for An American's Tale? Or do you think that challenge would have gotten through?
Kofi making a good guess and McCougang or Stacey Howarding or however you want to call it, the whole situation – let's just say we'll come back to that. I'm going to put a pin in that one because we're going to come back to that one a little bit later. Agreed. I know I've got a lot to say about it, and I will, Kofi. Don't you worry. And as far as the other thing goes with Vanessa, I mean, the challenge, I don't think there's a lot here. For one, I'm fairly certain, if I'm recalling correctly, and Keith, you're very much a rules guy. You probably have read all this more than I have. But I remember I read the Schmodown rule book, and I seem to recall there's something about the indefinite article. The is required only if the movie is more than a certain number of words. If it was 2 words or less, then it doesn't matter if you include it or don't in their official rules. Something like that.
It's something like that. So like if there's a movie called American Tale and then there's a movie called An American Tale, then you need the An. But if there's no secondary movie of a similar name, then you don't need it because you know what they're referencing, which then ties into the benefit of the rule.
To be honest, I honestly thought that maybe this wasn't about the American tale. I looked at the boards when they turned around. I think it might have been a spelling concern because I know it was spelled on, I think it was spelled on Kofi's board, T-A-L-E, and on Vanessa's board, T-A-I-L, which phonetically is the same. I think it might actually be an American tale with an AI. It's been years since I've seen the movie, and I'm not studying for matches, so don't quote me on that one. But I think in the end, if you want to ask, would this challenge have worked? Absolutely not. No way. It's phonetically correct. She knew what she was talking about. I think this challenge, at worst, you would have had a little bit of an off-screen shouting match, and then it comes back and gets the points anyway. She knew what she was talking about, and everybody there knew it. No point in a challenge here.
Yeah, it definitely kind of sort of what comes to mind for me is the Montano challenge against Gallego with the labyrinth minus the R. That kind of, like, I don't want to say a petty challenge, but something that just might throw your opponent off in the moment and then see what happens afterwards. But yeah, listen, 9-9, moving into round two. Again, the wheel for this one was a little bit interesting because I couldn't quite pin what person's strength was put on. So we get musicians in film, Bill Murray, we get holiday films, we get J-Lo, we get Wizarding World 2010s, we get animated, we get the dystopian future time travel, we get 1990s, and we get Eddie Murphy. So we get two decades, we get three actors, and we get a couple of peripheral categories and a couple of newer categories. For the life of me, I could not pin what strength was for which person before the wheel was spun.
No, that is true. Looking at this wheel, and even just hearing you say those categories out loud now, Keith, I could pick two or three of those categories, having seen her in a couple matches that I think Vanessa would be good at, that maybe she put on there. Having seen Kofi's first match, I think there's a couple. But you're right, there's really no way to nail this down and figure out exactly who put what category in the wheel. In the end, of course, the wheel being the wheel, it's all going to come down to the spin you get and the questions that you can come up with. So not really necessary for us to figure out which one they put on there, but you are correct. It is worth noting. It is an interesting thing to look at because I have no idea. And hey, more kudos to the competitors. If you're smart enough to be able to make it so your opponent doesn't know what your strength on the wheel is, do that. Don't give it away if you can avoid it. Probably a good strategy. Who knows what's going to happen with this wheel, but we're going to get into a very exciting round two for sure.
Definitely. So Kofi goes first. Vanessa defers to him, spins Bill Murray on his first, says let's go again, and the gods have decided that, listen, it's Bill Murray or nothing for this guy, but gets 8-8. He wasn't happy about taking because he didn't know how deep this category was going to go. Goes 8-8, the 86 family sports comedy, Space Jam. There's an 84 Ivan Reitman Ghostbusters. Bill Murray was nominated for what movie? Lost in Translation. And then the 88 Donner holiday movie of Scrooge. 8-8, boom. Comes to Vanessa, first spin, J-Lo says, no, not taking it. Spins again, wants the wheel to decide her fate, and the wheel has decided holiday films is going to be her fate. Goes 6-8. The three she gets right is the Whitmore in Independence Day, played by Bill Pullman, Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch, and then the 89 Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation movie. But the one that she misses, unfortunately, the 2016 holiday film directed by Gary Marshall, starring Jennifer Anderson and Jason Sudeikis. She says Valentine's Day. He says New Year's Eve. Both are incorrect, and it was Mother's Day. This is a really good two-point question, I think, Andrew.
I think it's a very solid two-point question. These are interesting movies. This is a trilogy. It's funny that both the competitors, if you go back and you look at the movies that were made by Gary Marshall about the holidays, they got two of the three, and they were both wrong, so they just missed the one. Vanessa, I mean, I'm going to come back to it. She said herself, she said it out loud, and then immediately thought of the correct answer. J-T-E. Over and over and over again, I'm going to say it. Not to just anybody, but to everybody, because there's a chance she could have recovered there. I don't hate it. She thought she had a correct answer. And I got to admit, I mean, you know I go out, Keith. You've heard my stories. I go out, I live the high life, supermodels, jets, travel to other countries, just like you do. But the elk, he enjoys some quiet time. He enjoys a good cry once in a while. And here's an opinion for you. These three Gary Marshall holiday movies, just skip them. There's so many better movies out there to watch with your time. I don't hate Vanessa for missing this question. In fact, I'm kind of pleased she did, because these movies are, they are awful. They're terrible. That said, maybe JT, just take a little bit more time, see what happens. I thought it was well handled. I don't love the deferral. I don't love the miss. I really don't love the idea that Kofi then decides to go to multiple choice. Clearly his mind wasn't in for that moment. Yeah, a lot of stuff here for me to pick on, but in the end, it's all minor quibbles because they get right back on track and they're both playing a good game. So little things, I may be blowing them up a bit, but it does behoove every competitor out there, take your time, take your time. Please, please, please take your time because we want to see a great match. Even when there's someone that I love in that ring, even when it's Nick Harley going for that title, you know what? I'm going to want him to be against the best opponent, somebody who gets every point they can, and I'm still going to want to see him win because then it's even more satisfying.
Agreed. But, listen, okay. I think that there's – yeah, asking for multiple – like, you know, this is a guy who's been on the draft. I believe he was on the draft board last year as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's been in and around this kind of, like, space that he's nearly gotten the gig already at the big leagues. You know, you need to have an understanding of what's going on, what you can and can't do. And listen, I've got some hot takes at the end of round three that I'll bring up. But we move into round three. Kofi's up by 2, 17-15. And to be fair to him, he hasn't missed a question yet. So, listen, we can say all he wants, but listen, the guy's shooting 100%. So what do we know in one sense? So come into round three. Vanessa hits her two with the Harrison Ford 2011 Cowboys and Aliens. Goes back to Kofi on his two. What franchise is the only one to win two best pitchers? Is The Godfather. I know there was kind of debate in the chat of whether The Godfather is classed as a franchise, but maybe that's for another episode. We should kind of bring that up. But I understand where they're coming from, what suite of movies we're kind of looking at is what we're asking for here. Vanessa's three is in the 1980s, which is the 85 sequel to The Wizard of Oz, which is Return to Oz. Kofi's three is in fantasy sci-fi, the 84 Wolfgang Peterson Never-Ending Story is the answer to that one. And then we come down to the fives. Vanessa's five in the 90s. Angela Bassett is nominated for playing Tina Turner. There was a few context clues in that, so I wasn't surprised to see that she got that. And then we come to the big one. Kofi's five, category of Keanu Reeves, who is the coach in the movie The Replacements. And at the last second, with three JTEs still in the bank, guesses Gene Hackman and your winner and playing Nick Harley, Mr. Kofi Outlaw.
I gotta say, what a round number three. I will admit, I think maybe a bit of a gimme for Vanessa on her five. That it, you're right, there's some context clues there. Nothing against that. You get the questions that you get in round number three. Vanessa played a great match. In fact, I want to take a moment here and say that everyone, if I recall correctly, everyone on this very show, this week in the FCL, said that Vanessa was going to be the one to watch, going to potentially win that match. And here's the thing, and this is very important for everyone out there to know, especially if you're talking about me. For everybody else, it doesn't matter as much. We were not wrong about Vanessa in this matchup because Vanessa performed incredibly well. She missed a question that she knew a second later. If she played a little tighter, use that JT. And again, it's a minor quibble. I'm not really ragging on her for this one. She could have had those points. She's so close on everything that she's doing. I think she played incredibly well. And she's up against a guy who went perfect and definitely had to guess at the most important question in the matchup. So Vanessa played a winning game, but sometimes you get lucky. And here's where we're pulling that pin back out, Keith. Here's where I'm talking about Kofi Outlaw and his behaviors in this matchup. And I'm going to bring up the JTEs. And I said, you always use your JTE. You always use your JTE. If you have the time, always use your JTE. Well, guess what? Kofi Outlaw, congratulations. You're going to get this from me. I was wrong here. This is the one case. This is the one situation where you don't use your JTE, because overthinking is a real thing too. And the truth of the matter is, he knew. He had never seen the movie. And I know Jared Haybon earlier, I said that he hadn't, but I think that's easy to pull. More recent film, all that stuff, maybe a little more popular than The Replacements was, even at the time. He does not have any idea who the coach in this movie is because he's never seen it. He's never studied it. He knows nothing about it. So you know what? Make your best guess. Take your shot, and I will give it to you, Kofi. Your best shot this week was just good enough. But you're going up against Nick Harley now. That's right, a man who's walked through his matches against some pretty good competitors, a man who knows seemingly everything about movies despite not watching them. And if you are going to be guessing at your 5 point in that matchup, we might not be seeing you with a belt around your waist. So remember to study hard, play hard. Respect for the win. I like the fact that you shot for it because, like Wayne Gretzky says, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Good for him. Good win. I would have liked to see Vanessa come out of this with the victory, but I think both played incredibly well. Both had a really great matchup, a lot of fun. And with the matchups that we saw going into it, both of our number one contenders matchups so far, if you are not hyped for the title match, I don't know what's wrong with you, because we've got a great title match coming your way. Kofi versus Nick Harley. I won't tell you who I think is going to win because you probably already know. But hey, Keith, great match all around.
Definitely. And I think, listen, with all these kind of, like, for use of a better term, missteps that Kofi had throughout the match, the guy went 100% on his own questions. I just want to counter what I said earlier. It's not 100% in the match because he missed the steal. But this is a guy who's gotten 27 points and we're not impressed by what he did in certain ways. And that's scary to say, that if this guy could learn everything and the little nuances of this game, this guy could be, like, unbeatable. I think, and it's something for a couple of weeks ahead, obviously, but Nick Harley is going to have his hands full with Kofi, because there's obviously a level of knowledge within him that is just sticking with him, and that's helping him. But I don't know how long that can go on for, would be my only thing. But if he gets 1 point more than everybody every single time he plays, it doesn't matter what way he gets it.
You are correct there. As much as I hate it, the truth is sometimes a blind squirrel finds a nut. A stop clock is right 2 times a day. And Kofi Outlaw, oh God, I love that name. Wonder where he came up with it. He is moving on to face Nick Harley. I'm not saying that Kofi Outlaw doesn't have knowledge. Clearly, if the questions that you miss are about movies like a Gary Marshall Holiday movie, and you're guessing at The Replacements, which, hey, I was right in the pocket when that movie came out. I was a teenager. That's when you saw everything that came out every summer with all your friends and your popcorn and your stuff. I couldn't remember who the coach of that damn movie was. It's not all that popular. So I will say he's got the knowledge. He's got the power. I'm just saying that Nick Harley so far has proved to be damn near bulletproof. He's practically Superman in those matches. He's not missing a lot. He's playing well. And at the same time, he's doing it while he's full and up and big. Lots of character coming out. Clearly, this is a guy who's comfortable. I would be afraid to step into a match against Nick Harley. Kofi Outlaw, you need to step into that matchup prepared. You need to be ready. Do your studying for anything that you can possibly study that might be on that wheel. And then forget all of it, relax, go in with confidence, and have a good time, have a good matchup, because that's what we all want to see. And when Nick Harley beats you for the title, well, I'll say I told you so on the next show after that.
Listen, I think we've boxed off everything that happened in FCL 8. So listen, let's look forward to what's happening next week in the FCL.
That's right. Next week in the FCL, it all comes to a head. We've got a hell of a matchup. Two of the league's very first competitors, two big personalities, and two alumni of this very show, this week in the FCL, facing off against each other. Keith, I know you know how I feel about this. I know you know I am pumped up. I am hyped. I am ready to go for these two gentlemen, for Tato, Knight. What do you got to say?
I have a lot to say, but I'm going to be respectful to both, because listen, this is so interesting on so many different ways, in the sense that it's two 0-1 fighters coming into the ring. One guy is going to be 0-2 after this. And I think Furtado has a future in the league, even if he's 0-2. I don't think that the whole Knight collector shtick continues if he's the only thing he's collecting is losses. I think that in terms of their knowledge, Andrew seems to know more, but I think he gets confused in terms of what he's trying to get to sometimes. Whereas I think Knight has a better grasp of knowledge for what we're seeing so far in the first 8 weeks. I have Knight as the slight favorite, but the big thing is going to be round two and seeing what bullseye slice that either can get. They've both been very, very vocal when they've come on here. Knight has said he's the king of comic book movies. We're going to see some sort of IG slice. Andrew is really, really excited about horror. If horror on the wheel again, he gets it, then that's going to be a bullseye slice for him. But the thing that I'm interested in seeing is, are these guys going to chase slices in round two? Are they going to respin, or are they going to hold? And I think that's where this match is going to be won or lost.
Well, the importance of your strategy in round number two and round number three cannot be overstated. Lots of points up for grabs and a lot of big swings possible. Round two particularly, 8 big points up for grabs, a lot of strategy to navigate with multiple choice and JTEs, and of course, the steals. Maybe more dangerous even than the 5-point question. You give up a couple of steals, a 2 and a 1, and you are worse off than missing your 5 and getting everything else correct along that same line. It is a tough position to be in. And Keith, this is why Chris Barnes needs to come back. This is why Ryan needs to come back on the show, because you are so very wrong about the outcome of this match. You know who's going to win, folks. You know who's going to come in there. He's the biggest personality. He's the brightest shining star in the FCL. And you can check out all of his thoughts when he sits down to talk with me on the This Week at the FCL Spotlight Series. Andrew Furtado, what a talent. What a mind. He needs to get a category wheel he likes. You are correct. I think he can get a little ahead of himself. You are correct. I even think it's fair to say, after what we've seen, Mr. Knight may just have a little bit of rent-free space right up here in Mr. Furtado's head.
Just a little bit.
He's going to calm down. He's going to recover. And I know that this man has all the talent necessary to make it through this, move on to bigger and better things, whether it's the title, the draft, Andrew Furtado coming out with the win. I called it here first. And when I call it here first, folks, you know what happens. I'm always right, aren't I? Except about Vanessa. But again, that one doesn't count.
Listen, I think it's going to be exciting. I think the promos, if the promo for the match is anything like what we've gotten from these guys in the last couple of weeks and on Twitter, it's going to be fantastic. It has the feel of a main event. Knight has been crying out to be in the main event ever since he's been on us. Furtado was saying that he's a main event fighter. So listen, they've both got their shot. They're both in the box seat, and it's up to them to decide what happens and how it happens. I do think that Knight is going to somehow scrape this win, but I think the league is better if Furtado wins, and that pains me to say that, Andrew. It really, really does.
Well, sometimes you just got to admit it when you see it. I've talked to some of these competitors on Twitter. I've talked to some of these competitors in private messages, and the truth of the matter is I've told a few of them, and more than a few of them, that I see something special in the way they've been performing because, like I said before, game recognizes game. And Keith, you might just be joining the game. You're playing Candyland while the rest of us are playing chess. But if you think Furtado would be better for the league, then maybe you're just starting to see the way that things really are. Mr. Knight, in the same vein, because Keith is being so generous to Mr. Furtado, I'm going to say something nice about you. If you win, it would be fine.
Listen, I think that's all that we can say about next week at this point. But this is something you've mentioned a couple of things there, Andrew. You did sit down with Mr. Furtado and in the second of our Spotlight series, and we have a little clip that we want to kind of show the audience, give them a little taste of what's to come for the 30 minutes when you sat down with this guy.
Don't hide what I watch. I'm very public about it. And the thing is, if you go on there, there's no organization. I watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it. If it's a musical, if it's a drama, if it's a comedy, if it's a horror, if it's a subgenre of a movie, I'm going to watch it. I can watch in one day a movie from 1940 to 2010 to a movie that takes place in 2040. You know, it doesn't matter. And because of that, there is no studying me. There is no benefit to knowing what I'm watching other than if you want like great movie tips. But the movies that really blew my mind when I was a kid and made me love film as much as I do. 1960s, The Apartment by Billy Wilder, starring Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. If you've never seen it, I have a tattoo right there, the key to Apartment 2A. It's one of the best movies ever made. First dark comedy, black and white. It's absolutely stunning. But you'll never see it in the FCL. You know why? Too good.
I have to agree with you on that one. The Apartment, a brilliant piece of filmmaking. A lot of movies that people overlook, I find, when their viewing habits tend towards their own lifetimes. Feel free to head back, find some of those films that came out before you. There are some gems like that one, recommended by Mr. Furtado, and now by myself as well. Yeah. But we have movies, we have trivia, all of that is on your plate. And obviously, you've got a lot of talent, you've got a lot of a passion for the sport. But you've also got what I would like to call an inimitable style. Today, you're a bit dressed down, but in your first match, you were sharp as a tack. Talk about what goes into the costuming. I'm sure William Bibbiani will be thrilled with this portion of the interview.
Oh, boy. I wear so much. I really do. Even now, I have thousands of movie t-shirts. This is my Movies at Home Club t-shirt from super yucky. I genuinely love going out there and finding any kind of t-shirts that speak my mind. I make my own t-shirts off tpublic.com. Like I love movie references.
Oh, yes, indeed. All that and more. It was a true pleasure, Mr. Furtado, sitting down with you and having a discussion about it. And fans, you can check that one out on our channel right now, this week's Spotlight Series with Andrew Furtado, hosted by, of course, yours truly. You like the Spotlight Series? Hey, check out Ryan discussing with Vanessa and Robert from Late to the Party as well. We've got some great stuff there and surely more great stuff in the future. But I would appreciate if you check that one out, just like you're checking this one out. It's about an hour. We sat down, we talked, we had a good time, and I learned a lot about Mr. Andrew Furtado. All that on the channel. Check it out. Like, comment, subscribe. You know what to do.
Listen, I think it was a great conversation between the two of you. There's clearly a little bromance between the two Andrews, shall we say. So listen, it's a great conversation. It's a great series that we're putting together. It's the second of many. We've got a couple more lined up in the future, and I can't wait to bring that to the audience. But listen, why don't you see us out, Andrew?
All right. Well, with all of that, we've talked about the main event next week. We don't know what the undercard's going to be. We've talked about the matches this week. Were we hard on the competitors? Maybe. Did we provide you a little of insight? Hopefully. And did you have a good time hanging out with me and Keith? Well, I carried it as far as I could on my back. That's right, folks. Thank you for joining us once again at This Week FCL. Of course, you can check us out on all the social medias. I'm at KelkAndrew.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @KakelDuffMedia, and also check out the Opening Pair podcast YouTube channel with myself and Kyle Gavin. Check out Chris and Ryan and all the stuff that they do. Links are in the description below. And listen, for yourselves, like, comment, subscribe, do all those things. Help us grow and help you grow by us helping you grow.
And hopefully next week we'll be back with some more news from the FCL. Of course, we will. We'll always be here to bring you that news, those updates, and a little bit of our own opinion sprinkled in there. Next week, maybe I'll be rejoined by a special guest. Maybe I'll be rejoined by my regular co-host. And do, as Keith said, please check out everything Ryan and Chris are doing on their own, on social media, on YouTube. They're both working very hard, putting out a lot of content. We would appreciate if you showed some support to them. As you've always supported us, we're going to be back with you next week on This Week in the FCL.